Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is your God, the Lord alone. Thus it says in Deuteronomy 6. A passage that lies at the core of the message of the Bible. The Lord is your God, the Lord alone. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with everything that you are. Of course, the next sentence there is not, and your neighbor as yourself, but that is there in the law, the Torah of Moses. Words that are so central to who we are. Whether we be followers of Jesus or those who stand within the great stream that led through Abraham and Moses and onward. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Response to a question. Words not spoken by Jesus here, but by a questioner, a tester, but one who perhaps was truly seeking to be right with God. But another question was asked, a question we always ask ourselves if we are honest. Because we know about love, and we know that it is not an easy path to walk. It is perhaps the most difficult journey to travel upon in life. To love. I mean, not just to love, but to love. The question is relevant. Okay, who is my neighbor? And forgive me for this, but I don't believe that that's a smart-ass question. We might hear it as such, but it is a true question, one we all ask. I mean, because some people are easier to love than others. Sometimes when we think of those who are least, you know, lie at the bottom of our list. Well, you know, who is my neighbor? Our response to that might be to come up with a list, right? Okay, well, at the top of the list is this person or this kind of person. And at the bottom of my list is this person. Right? Now that person closer to the bottom of the list may be somebody very different from ourselves, from somebody kind of at the fringes of our experience. Or that person may be somebody very close to us in our own very own family. Right? Family is not always easy to love. Are my family members my neighbor? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus answered not with a list. Did you notice? He answered with a story. And we all love stories. Not just children. We love stories. I love stories. You? And this is perhaps one of the most familiar stories in the Bible to us. It is a story that is almost part of our society. People who do not even know the Bible know a little bit. They know what a good Samaritan is, right? They may not fully know the depth of this story, and there is great depth in it. Jesus answered with this story. A story that engages us from the very beginning because it talks about being robbed and beaten and left to die. And we're all going, oh, ain't it awful? Somebody ought to do something about that. And it has almost a litany going through of persons who walk by. You know, first is a Levite, or was it a Levite? What's the order? Who's the first one that goes by, anyone? A priest. And then a Levite. It doesn't matter. I mean, hey, it could be Pastor Pete going by, who is seeing a need, but afraid to reach out. And you're all saying, as you're hearing the story, oh, come on, don't you see? Reach out. You walk by. And then Jesus talks about one who comes along. And it's this point in the story that I believe that many people who originally heard this story started zoning out. Because this person was a Samaritan. And a Samaritan placed in a story in a good light would have been an oxymoron. You don't do that. I can imagine those first hearers saying, you know, as soon as he mentioned that name, them going, they're focused on it. You know how you do that when you're hearing something and something is raised and you just can't get your mind off of that and you stop listening with this ear and this ear, you're just paying attention to that. Why do you have to bring that? Why did you go, I don't understand this. Why do you go, and there's an interior argument going on in the head. You know what I'm saying? Because Samaritans were to a good Jew, and this was a Jewish lawyer who was asking the question. There were good Jewish people there. Samaritan, there was a whole kind of different, seen as a different race, even though they claimed the same God. They're neighbors, the next kind of territory up and over. But these were like seen as enemies. Samaritan? Good? Oh, come on. No. I don't understand. I imagine Jesus probably had to tell this story a couple times. You know, please, could you repeat that story? You know, better question, you know, when we're asking, who is my neighbor? Well, who is a Samaritan to you? You know, I think one of the first things that comes to mind with you, Eugenia, thinking back, were you alive during the Biafran War? No, okay, but in Nigeria, it would sort of be like if you lived in Igbo land, southeast Nigeria, especially at that time period, talking about the good Hausa, the good Fulani, the good Yoruba, who were slaughtering Igbo people during that war. Would be like even in this very state, 40 years ago or whatever, forgive me for using words like this, but for somebody to be speaking of Jesus, to be speaking of the good nigger, or the good white man. What? What are you talking about? Or even today. And again, I'm not stepping on territory just for the sake of stepping on it, to talk about the good homosexual. Or, from the other point of view, the good homophobe. Do you hear what I'm saying? The boundaries we put. Who is my neighbor? Jesus just told a story. And the chips fall where they may. As the story comes from the page and it ceases to be something out of there and it comes alive in us. As long as it remains here, it's embalming fluid, just plain ink. But it becomes living when we allow it to enter into us. That's how we love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Scripture talks about it even being eaten. We ingest God's word and digest. And sometimes it gives us indigestion. Jesus went on with his story about this good Samaritan who simply stopped his journey and reached out to this person and cared for his wounds, anointing with oil and wine, giving some sustenance right then and there, but picking him up, carrying him on his animal to that inn, providing for him, making sure that he's fed, giving what is needed in order for the care to be full even after he has left, and promising to return. An awesome story about love. How hard it is indeed to love. Very, very hard. How can we fully live this out? How can we fully live this out? But let me offer just a little bit of something that turns this from being a terrifying obligation to being a word of good news. For this is not just a story about a good Samaritan. This is a story about God, who, when we are robbed and beaten and broken and on the ground, God stops and reaches out to us and cares for us where we are. This is a picture of your God, who anoints your wounds, who picks you up and carries you to a place of refuge and healing, and who provides for your sustenance, and who promises to return. Do you hear the good news of that promise of this story? Because, my friends, this story is for you. You see, our God himself came among us in the form of his own son, and his own son was beaten and bruised and left for dead. And what did this God do? He reached out and rolled the stone away and brought forth his son to new life. And that is the good news, because it's not just the promise for his son, it's the promise through his son to us of new life. And so let me simply right now invite you, brothers and sisters, to allow God to lead you, to pick you up where you are right now. Many of you are bruised and battered. Let God anoint you and lead you to his table, where there is a place for you Allow God to feed you simply and care for you along the way. Come. God welcomes you. Amen.